Father, we just come before you this morning just with grateful hearts. This weather's beautiful. It just is peaceful. It's calming. It's fun to be out and about and just see your beauty. The trees are changing, the landscape's changing, and just the sunsets are beautiful, and it all just screams your name and your creation. Anything that we look at with nature is just the description of who you are and the realness of what you've created and the realness of what you can do. And we just long and look forward to the day that we get to rejoice with you in all that. The days that the mountains will move and the trees will clap their hands and the beauty of this world just comes alive. We just can't wait for that day, and we just look forward to your coming. And we just pray as we always prepare ourselves for that day that we can just continue to learn and glorify you. Just take our walk and make it fruitful. Make it honor you, and that's what we're here to do. And so I just thank you for giving the nudge for the people to come this morning to honor you, to bring glory to you, to just take their own world and their own life and just learn in it. And that's what you've got for us to do, is just glean from your word, glean from your teachings, the things that we can use to make us reflect you to more people in our life. We want to thank you for the time we got to spend out in Washington. And as that church prays for us this morning, we also want to pray for them. They specifically asked for just their church to be authentic and be real, their people to just take your word and grasp and hold on to it, and for prayer to start being a part of that congregation. So we want to just bring our brothers and sisters across this nation in front of you this morning, that you can just guide them this morning and guide them through their walk, that is something that they may be able to do. And we ask that same for us, that it's something that you become real in each one of our lives. You become something that we notice when we're walking through our week, that we can seek your face as we do the things that we do every day. That we try to fight for you instead of ourselves throughout the week. And we just ask this morning that you give us the tools to be able to do that. You've given us this book of instructions to help us to be able to accomplish that in our life. So we just thank you for giving us those answers. We thank you for not just leaving us alone and walking away from us and not giving us that answer and that hope and that comfort and that joy and peace. But you provide it word for word for us. So we just thank you for that. And we want to pray for the sick ones. This morning there's people that can't be with us this morning because they're just fighting health issues. And we pray that you can just heal them, comfort them. We want to just thank you for the beautiful birth process of bringing new life into this world that Lisa and Blake are experiencing, that they get to add another little soul that has the possibility of being with you in eternity. We just pray that you can watch over them as they raise that child, just that you can keep the child healthy, that it's just a beautiful little girl that is a child that you created. And we just pray that you just give them the confidence and the pure heart and the pure motives to be able to raise that little girl for a little child that's after your own heart. And we want to do that for our children that are downstairs this morning, as they're going to come up and tell us about what they've been learning, that you can just guard their hearts, you can just keep their butterflies in their belly at bay, and just know that they're just telling their story about you. Get them comfortable with being able to tell people who you are and what they know about you. So we just pray that you just use their innocence to be able to do that this morning. Just want to ask, Holy Spirit, that you may just set me aside this morning. My body's a temple to be used for you. And what better way than to just have you speak this morning to everybody, including myself. Just that you may take this over, that these may be your words, not mine, that things may be clear, not muddy, and that it's just something that we can all learn from this morning. In your son's name we pray. Amen. All right, so chapter 7, verse 6. And I'm going to read all the way through 12, but we're just going to continue reading through even verse 7 through 11. I'll keep on there because it falls obviously in line. So if you just want to follow along in chapter 7, verse 6 through 12, do not give what is holy to dogs, and do not throw your pearls before swine, or they will trample them under their feet and turn and tear you into pieces. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek, you will find. Knock, it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, when his son asks for a loaf, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, he will not give him a snake, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give you what is good to those who ask? In everything, therefore, treat people the same way you want them to treat you, for this is the law and the prophets. Okay, so if we look at back at verse 6, do not give what is holy to dogs, and do not throw your pearls before swine, or they will trample them under their feet and turn and tear you into pieces. You look back at Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 8, is when it's going through the different laws. And why Jesus is using that as for an example is because a pig was unclean. It was considered an unclean animal. And it says that God says you don't touch an unclean animal, is what the law said, because you would be ceremonial unclean. All right, so which would not allow you to enter the temple and to worship until you went through the cleansing process. So that is the background of what Jesus is talking about with the pigs. But the context of this is saying to be careful to who you are entrusting and teaching the things of God to. That's basically what Jesus is saying here. And the dogs and the swine, they represent those who hate Jesus, and they persecute those who follow Jesus. So keep that in your mind as we go through this today, that when it says the dogs and the swine, it's the people who are representing represent their hate towards Jesus, and that who persecute those who follow. So this obviously takes discernment, right? When it says to be careful of that and do not give what is holy to them, it's going to take discernment on our side of things, which I think is funny that Jesus throws this in right after he talks about judging. If you remember 2 weeks ago, we covered all of the stuff about judging and not putting ourselves in that position of the people to judge. So obviously it takes discernment, because we're supposed to be the light to people. We're supposed to be the salt of the earth. We're supposed to be able to help spread joy and comfort to people. And but Jesus, what he's saying here is just don't waste your time with the people who won't listen and don't want to include what you have to offer them. They're going to just tear you apart. So he's saying, just be careful of that, because you're wasting your time. Your time is valuable, right? We look at time, and time is something that we can never get back. It's something that we're always experiencing and we're always working through. And there's so many people out there that are lost and hurting that need to know who Jesus is, that need to know the truth of Jesus, that what Jesus is saying here is he goes, the people that just bait you in to fight you and to tear you apart because of who you are and what you believe in, don't waste your time on them. That's something that he's saying. And a good example of that is actually, it was when we were going through Mark on Thursday nights, and Dad was covering the book of Mark. It says in Mark 14:60, the high priest stood up and came forward and questioned Jesus, saying, "Do you not answer? What is it that these men are testifying against you?" And what did Jesus do? He kept silent, because he knew by opening his mouth and trying to refute them and prove to them, guys, it wasn't going to do any good. Those people were already dead set against who he was and already ready to crucify him. So Jesus says, "I'm not going to answer. I'm not going to give. Nothing valuable that's going to come out of my mouth is going to do you any good." So he's discerning the situation. Just like us, it's a tough place to be, because we get excited and we want to tell people about it, but if it's something that you can discern in a situation that it's going to be used against you and they're just going to tear you apart, you're better off just to keep our mouth shut. And that isn't just in the New Testament, it's in Proverbs also, in Proverbs 9:8, "Do not reprove a scoffer or he will hate you." And then again in Proverbs 23:9, "Do not speak in the hearing of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of your words." People are so good at twisting things. And that should always be something in the back of our head, is when we say something, when we talk about something, what are those people? Is it really something that we're trying to benefit those people with? Or are those people just baiting us to try to take that and twist it? A silly example was when we had the Dratio come through and tear everything apart, this news station, I don't know how they ever got a hold of us, is some station from Colorado come out and did an interview with us. And I know they interviewed Dad about the crops, and Dad gave them a good testimony of being what a witness for Jesus would look like. What a great example. You got an opportunity to stand in front of a camera and a microphone to people in Colorado that have no idea who you are, but can see a struggle and a situation you're going through, so you turn and you glorify it towards God. Yet then when that video played on the news, every single part of that clip was cut out. It didn't mention anything that Dad said about glorifying God. They cut it out. You know, so I mean, that's kind of an example, but people always are going to look for what benefits them when we speak, so we therefore need to be careful in what we speak and how we speak and who we present those things before. But here's the hard part of that, is so many times we try to use that as an easy way out, as our easy button that we just hit, because we're lazy a lot of times. I don't want to work towards talking to that person, or I don't want to use my discernment. I just want to take the easy way out, and if I think from the view of that person what I see them as, that they have nothing to do with God and they would just tear me apart by what I look and know of them, and I just walk away, that's me just hitting the easy button. Well, I'm going to shake the dust off my feet and sandals and move on, which God told the people to do that if you were not welcome in a home. But guess what? They had to walk into that home and they had to open their mouth to be able to see if they were welcome in that home or not. So it still took the action of going out and speaking to someone before they figured out if it was somebody that really was gonna either tear them up or build them up, or take their encouragement and take their joy and their comfort that they could provide, or just use that against them. So it's something that we just need to be aware of. That don't use that verse as an easy button. Don't just use that to say, oh, I don't have to. Everybody's evil in this world. Well, we look at this world and there's a lot of evil people in this world. That is correct. But we can't use that verse as just to say, that gives me an excuse. God tells me not to talk to evil people. Don't tell them about him. Well, combat that also. What the Bible says is that God desires how many people to be saved? God desires all men to be saved. So it's up to us with our discernment, which is, how do we get our discernment from? What do we get our discernment from is everything in chapter 5 and 6 that we've already covered about God's standards versus our standards on what do we expect judging. Am I just judging that person because I have that same problem as that person, so therefore I'm not going to bring it to light in that person's life because I don't want it to get brought to light in my life, so therefore I keep my mouth shut? So, like I said, it all ties together. So the biggest thing with this to remember is don't use it for an easy button. Still challenge yourself to bring up Jesus. Still challenge yourself to talk to people about Jesus. Still challenge yourself to represent Jesus when you're in front of people. And the Holy Spirit, as we're going to cover and we're going to look at things, he's going to do the work anyway. The Holy Spirit will allow you to discern if that person is going to act like a dog or a swine and tear you apart, or if he's going to benefit from it. But we have to, how are we going to see that? What's Matthew 6:33? Seek first his kingdom. So if we're seeking God and we're seeking after his thing and we're seeking after to be the benefit for people, the Holy Spirit's going to be able to work in us and allow us to be able to discern that situation right from wrong. Okay? So, holy. Do not give what is holy to dogs, and do not throw your pearls before swine. The original language for holy is something set apart by or for God. Okay? So pearls, that says, I'm not going to throw my pearls before him, is something that's sacred and precious. So if we have something that's set apart by or for God and something that is precious and sacred, what are those things? Now we're going to think outside the box a little bit. Romans 5:8. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Okay? 2 Corinthians 5:21. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that we might become the righteousness of God. So if God is doing that for us, are we holy and precious and set apart for him? Right? So we look at that and say, well, we're going to just go one step farther than what this says. I just don't. But what about yourself? What do you think you are in the eyes of God? What did those verses just tell you that you are? In the eyes of God, if he sent his son for me while I was yet a sinner, and if for our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, that means I must be valuable in God's eyes. Otherwise, why would he have sent Jesus Christ to this earth? Right? I, in God's eyes, am holy and precious as a pearl. So read this verse. Do not give what is holy to dogs, and do not throw your pearls before swine. I would love to take this back and be able to do this with young women. You take young women and you especially put them into this verse. So how many young women step into something and do something because they don't think that they're valuable unless some earthly, fleshly punk tells them that they are? Look at how this verse could encourage them. Don't throw yourself into that situation. Young men, same thing. Don't throw yourself into that situation. There's just as many bad women as there is bad men. Don't throw yourself. You are of value. Right? Okay? You are a thing God designed for good. You are a thing God sees value in, contrary to what people may say. So we can use that for all of us. When you, depends what your job is, maybe your boss sees no value in you. Maybe your spouse sees no value in you. Maybe your children see no value in you. How many things does that make us trip up on? How many things does that keep us from? But what does God say? You're valuable. He sees you as a holy pearl that He created to glorify Him. It doesn't matter what this world says, because we're not going off the world's standards. We've just learned that. We don't care about what the world's standards are. That's the whole point of Matthew 5 and 6. God says, don't worry about this. You're living for my kingdom. This is what my kingdom is. This is what my kingdom expects. Forget about the world. See the value in who you are, who I created you to be. Do the things that I need you to do. And that doesn't matter if it's Shear's little baby that's that young, or it doesn't matter if it's the oldest person that's on this earth. From the new to the old, every one of us, we don't lose our value in God's eyes. And that's the great part about when He said that we were yet sinners, He sent His Son for us, who knew no sin to be sin. We can't lose that value in God's eyes. No matter what we do, no matter how bad of things we do, you take of all the prisoners that are in prison or locked up or should be locked up that ain't, their sin's still a sin that God died for, or that Jesus Christ hung on that cross for. God values that person just as much as He values somebody who you picture as a holy person. God has no distinction between them. So it doesn't matter what our past is. So Jesus is saying, don't waste yourself and don't waste your time with the things that will tear you to pieces. Right? Don't waste your time with the things that are going to devalue you. Life is hard enough the way it is. Why do we chase after the things that tear us apart? Why do we hang around with the people that tear you down? Because all it does is suck us in. It's going to catch us at some point. So He's saying, don't do that. Stay away from that. You're holy in my eyes. Do I need you to go out into this world? Yes, I do. Do I need you to live and adapt to this world? No, I don't. I'm not having you here to adapt and live to this kingdom. I'm having you here to adapt and live to my kingdom. So partake in the people. We are called to be peacemakers, right? Chapter 5, verse 8, we're called to be peacemakers. That's people. We're supposed to be in business with people. We're supposed to deal with people. But it's supposed to be the salt and the light to the people, right? Okay, so when I am trampled under the feet of those who hate Jesus and hate His standards, why is He warning me from that? Because they will steal our freedom. They'll steal our joy. They'll steal our peace. And they'll steal our comfort. Because they don't value you. Jesus Christ is the one who brings you freedom, who brings you peace, who brings you joy, who brings you comfort. Because He values you. People will not do that to you. We've all been affected negatively by somebody. We've all affected somebody negatively. Because it's hard for us to value. We can't value people like Jesus values you. We'd say would you hang on that cross? Would you take the sins for all the child molesters and all the piece of scum on this earth? I wouldn't. Because I can't see people like God created people to be. I can't value people like God can value people. But how He wants us to He wants us to be an image of Him. He wants us to reflect. We need to start with that. We need to try to get to that point, to where we see people like that, because that is how those people will then experience Jesus, which we've covered in the past week. So, what are we to do? Right? We covered judging. So number one is don't sinfully judge. Sinfully judging, meaning don't judge somebody off of my standards, because I'm not God. So therefore, I can't judge somebody according to my standards, because my standards aren't right. Okay? That's verses 7, 1 through 5, what we covered. Number two is we have to use wisdom to refuse to give what is precious in God's sight to those who refuse spiritual things. And we're not talking just about the gospel, your lifestyle. Refuse to give yourself into that lifestyle to be together with the people who refuse what is right with God. Are you supposed to be there to hopefully help encourage them? Yes. To hopefully give them some sort of joy or comfort if they ask you? Yes. But are you supposed to join in that lifestyle with that person who refuses what is right in God's eyes? We're not supposed to. Right? So how do we do that? How are we to be able to do that? That's the question. Is what are we going to do? Verses 7 through 11 was what? What did we cover last week? Prayer. Ask, seek, and knock. It ties right into it. By prayer, because prayer is an earthly request for a heavenly intervention. That's what prayer is. If I want to intervene, if I really care for somebody that wants nothing to do with God, if I have somebody that is not treating me as a holy pearl like God does, and they want nothing to do with Him, but I love that person, and I want to help that person, what can I do? I ask, and I seek, and I knock. I go after that person in prayer. Because by prayer, I'm not getting involved with that person physically and allowing them to drag me down. I'm stepping back and saying, God, You are far greater than I am. You take care of this person. Yes, I love this person. Yes, I want this person in my life. Yes, I need this person, but I can't do anything. They're an uncrackable shell. Step back. God will do mighty things. Prayer cannot be devalued and underrated. You ask God, you can continually seek after what is good for that person, and you just keep knocking. God, please. Please answer my call. I don't want that person to experience an eternity without You. Or I don't want that person to, maybe they've accepted Jesus as your Savior and they've totally walked away from it and you can just see the train wreck and the fire on the horizon. You say, God, I know what's coming for that person. Would You just please help him? Continually seek after what is right for that person. Pray for him. It's not our job to do the saving. The saving's already been done. The help comes from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will do it. So, which then leads into what? Verse 12. In everything, therefore, treat people the same way you want them to treat you. What does this look like? Okay. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. You can turn there if you want to. That's chapter 5. And we're going to read 11. We're going to start in 11 and we're going to read through 24. So 1 Thessalonians 5, 11, and we'll read through 24. So what does it look like to treat people how we want to be treated? That's what we're looking at. Encourage one another. Who likes encouragement? I do. Right? Build one another up. Who needs build up? I do. Okay? But we request of you, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord and give you instruction, and that you esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Here we go. Live in peace with one another. Right? Urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with everybody, see that no one repays another with evil for evil, but always seek after that which is good for one another and for all people. Kind of sounds like seek first my kingdom. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ. Jesus, do not quench the Spirit. Okay, time out. Think of a fire. How do we quench a fire? You extinguish it or you suppress it. That's what it is. If I'm going to quench the Spirit, I'm going to suppress it. I'm going to take that fire extinguisher, and I have the fire for the Lord burning in my life, and I'm letting that Holy Spirit do the work, and He's just going. But there's something of this lifestyle that I want, or something that I get involved with that is not a holy thing in the sight of God, and it drags me down. I'm blowing a fire extinguisher on that fire of the Holy Spirit that's living in me. Now that Holy Spirit that's living and roaring in me and allowing me to walk out and go and do things through His power, I've just extinguished. Well, then who's left if I've extinguished Him? If I put Him in the back seat, who's in the front seat driving? I am. Can anything good come from my flesh? No. That's the power of the Holy Spirit that we need to take a back seat to. Right? So don't quench it. Don't extinguish it. Right? Do not despise prophetic utterances, but examine everything carefully. But examine everything carefully. That's the diligence of what He's saying. Don't throw your things of your holy things and your pearls before swines. Right here. Examine everything carefully. That's be diligent. Hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Now may the God of peace Himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is He who calls you, and He also will bring it to pass. God is faithful. Period. It's just like our seasons. The trees are changing. It's faithful. It's repetitive. It's going. That's God. God is faithful. Right? Okay, Ephesians. One more. You can turn to Ephesians. Turn back a couple to Ephesians. Chapter 4, verse 30. Here we have it again. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Watch what comes out of our mouth. Watch what we do. Because if the Holy Spirit is grieving what I'm doing, that means I'm not doing what is right. Because I've extinguished Him. And the Holy Spirit is in me grieving. Come on, don't. Time to repent. Time to move on. Get over with this. Get back on the wagon. Let's go. So I can do what I need to do in your life to help you have a better life, to help you represent Jesus Christ better in your life. So do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all the bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you among all, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also forgave you. Chapter 5, therefore, we're still talking about what does it look like to treat other people the same. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love just as Christ also loved you and gave Himself up for us, an offering and sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. That is impossible. We sound and we read all those things and they sound good and we know that's what we need to be doing, but we cannot do all those things if we extinguish the Holy Spirit. He just told us that. It's going to sit there and grieve for us to come out. What did it say in chapter 5 when we looked at the Beatitudes? Blessed are those that are poor in spirit. That's, we come to God with nothing to offer. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. That's those who see their spiritual poverty. If I see my spiritual poverty, I know that I need help, and I won't extinguish the Holy Spirit, and I won't have the Holy Spirit grieving in me because He's going to be able to work. And that's what's cool with this. What we're going through is this is all the things that Jesus spoke all at once, so it all ties back with the Beatitudes. It's cool. So we can't do it, we won't do it, without the Holy Spirit. All right? The Holy Spirit's joy, presence, and power can't be ours if we speak contrary to Him when we open our mouth. Gut check. Right there. The Holy Spirit's joy, presence, and power can't be ours if we speak contrary to Him when we open our mouth. Okay? we'll finish because we're going to give the kids about 10 minutes. So verse 12. In everything, therefore, treat people the same way you want them to treat you, for this is the law of the prophets. Here's the revised lingo out of my mouth. Do for the people around you what you want God to do for you. How do you want God to work in your life? What do you want God to do for you? Whatever that is, do that to those around you. You say, I can't do that. You don't understand the people around me. Quit extinguishing the Holy Spirit. You're not going to be able to do it. Newsflash, you won't be able to do it. But the Holy Spirit will. It's a very important part of our walk is the Holy Spirit that so often gets overlooked because maybe sometimes we don't think we understand Him or how He works or what He can do or really what is He because He's not a tangible item. Well, you believe Jesus worked in your life and died on the cross for you. The Holy Spirit's part of Him. That's the part that's residing in you. The same Holy Spirit that rose Jesus from the grave is the same one that's living inside of you every day. That is how we accomplish that. That is how we're able to do what we need to do for people around us every day. We're called to be peacemakers. How do we do that? We step back and let the Holy Spirit because we're too ugly to be able to help people, period. Our old sin nature, our selfish motives will not allow us to help people. We just get in the way. So, we'll close. The kids are going to come up. Father, we just again, we thank you for giving us the helper, the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is just something I pray that we can allow you to work more in our life, to put you behind the wheel of our life so we can see how you operate and how you want us to operate with people. We can't do that when we're in the way. So if there's the one thing that we can take away from this morning, it's to see the value in people, to try to see people how you see them, to try to treat them how you want us to treat them that reflects you. We can't do that unless we let the Holy Spirit do His job. Because the Holy Spirit is you. And that's what people will see if we just step back and let Him go. Father, just as these kids come up here, we just pray that you just put their butterflies away, help them to be bold, help them to be courageous, help them to speak truth in your name. Amen.